Hello, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we got a lot of problems in our country. But why are Republicans doing nothing about it on the state-by-state level? I start with the foreign policy analysis of what Joe Biden is doing, but then I depart from that. And I say, yes, he's destroying the country, of course, obviously. But let's do something. Action. We talk about what that could be. A little spicy of an episode. I know some of you enjoy that. So if you just want vanilla, sugar-coated, milk-toast, boring commentary, well, then go watch cable news. But if you want to get right to the heart of the matter, I think you'll enjoy this. It's already been receiving phenomenal feedback, so I'd love your thoughts. freedom@charliekirk.com. I love learning from you. We have the best audience on the planet. Thank you, guys. freedom@charliekirk.com. Please subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast by typing in Charlie Kirk Show and hitting subscribe in the upper right-hand corner. 1 week from today, we'll have our Student Action Summit in Tampa, Florida. DeSantis and Trump will be there with Turning Point Action. The remainder of the speakers, all Turning Point USA. Josh Hawley, Kayleigh McEnany, Ted Cruz, Greg Gutfeld, Laura Ingraham, and more. TPUSA.com/SAS. That is TPUSA.com/SAS. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Joe Biden is in Saudi Arabia. He was just in Israel. Israel's one of my favorite places on the planet. If you've never been to Israel, it is amazing. I encourage you to do so. Israel's awesome for a lot of different reasons. I love Israel because they're very clear about the type of country they want to be. They don't care about the haters. They don't care about the international community that tries to pressure them. They say, we're a Jewish country and we're going to remain a Jewish country. We're going to defend our borders. We're going to have territorial sovereignty. And not to mention, as a Christian, I think it's amazing to be able to see the Bible come to just full technicolor. And Israel has this dispute with what they call Palestine or Palestinians, which is a largely created people, just kind of fictitious identity for people that quite honestly are West Jordanian refugees. So Joe Biden just finished making a fool of himself in Israel. We've been avoiding this for obvious reasons. I think a lot of what's been happening here domestically is far more important than a lot of kind of the charade that Joe Biden is putting on internationally. So what's interesting, though, is typically presidents go abroad to try and turn around their failing poll numbers. Nothing is as popular domestically than going abroad. It's kind of an old presidential practice going back to probably Richard Nixon, who tried to turn around some of his floundering poll numbers by going to China and did so successfully by opening China. A bad decision, by the way, never should have been done, but it looked as if he was magnanimous and he was clear about the direction of the Western world. Presidents go abroad when they try to avoid problems that are happening domestically. It's nothing new. You can't blame Biden for that. He's one of the most unpopular president since, I think, the recording of polling. But what's remarkable is how Biden has went internationally, and it seems as if he's making a bigger fool of himself and of America just from a communication standpoint. So we're going to talk a little bit about this. We're not going to dwell too much on it just because we've grown so accustomed to Joe Biden make a complete and total mockery of the United States. And I say this, and I'll say it again, we deserve so much better than this corrupt clown that is meandering around the Middle East. You deserve better. Hardworking Americans deserve better. Our veterans deserve better. People that obey the law and love the country. This guy should be nowhere near leadership. He shouldn't be running a bingo club in the villages, let alone running the nuclear arsenal and the wealthiest, most generous, powerful country in the history of the world. I mean, this guy would be in a close tie to try to be dog catcher in Boca Raton, Florida, let alone president of the United States. So Joe Biden goes to Israel, and Let's play some tape from it. Again, we've grown used to this, but you need to continue to air it and talk about it. And then I'm going to talk about the geopolitical implications and how what I believe is being missed in Joe Biden's visit to Israel and Saudi Arabia and how that game plays into the World Economic Forum's ambitions to crush America, destroy our sovereignty, and take your property away. Let's start with this one. Joe Biden says we need to keep alive the truth and the honor of the Holocaust. Play cut 94.
Later today, I will once more return to the hollow ground of Yad Vashem to honor 6 million Jewish lives were stolen in the genocide, to keep alive the truth and honor of the Holocaust, horror of the Holocaust.
He obviously meant to say horror, not honor. Cut 96, Joe Biden makes incredible gaffe about sending COVID-19 to West Bank and Gaza. We deserve so much better than this. Play cut 96.
That's why when I came to office, I reserved the policy. I reversed the policies of my predecessor and resumed aid to the Palestinians to respond to the pandemic, including donating more than 1 million doses of COVID-19 to the West Bank and Gaza.
Cut 97. Joe Biden just asked the question, what am I doing now? Cut 97. It's pathetic. This threatens American national security. Here's a truth that most liberals and suburban soccer moms that vote Democrat and mask when they shower don't want to admit. There's evil in the world. And evil will not go away just with a press release or flying a gay pride flag over your embassy. You must be respected and feared to destroy evil. There's some very insidious forces on the planet right now. Iran, China. And what do we think that they're going to back down when Joe Biden says, oh, what am I doing now? No one is respecting or fearing Joe Biden. In fact, that's part of the game. We'll go to this one here. Joe Biden tries to shake hands with an empty air. Play cut 95.
Thank you, President Herzog and President Biden.
He just tries to go straight after. I mean, maybe Joe Biden's embracing Adam Smith's invisible hand. I don't know. It's not the first time he's done that, by the way. This guy's running the nuclear arsenal. He's in charge of our diplomacy. He's the commander in chief. I refuse to believe that this man got how many votes? 82 million votes or whatever? He might have had 82 million ballots. 81 million? Might have 81 million ballots. I refuse to believe. I that is not the country I live in. I know that some people love what Joe Biden is doing. I refuse to believe that's the country. I really do. So Joe Biden goes to Israel. And look, Joe Biden, when he was a senator, was always trying to play kind of the middle broker. Now, Joe Biden is a neocon. He believes in endless war, in reshaping different regions of the Middle East. And I'll be very honest, I don't like talking that much about foreign policy unless it's directly impacting American national security and sovereignty. In fact, I think a majority of national security conversations in Washington, D.C. are largely driven by the war industry and driven by the military-industrial complex and driven by the perpetual occupation state of where they want to just continue to play war games, and it does not have any direct implications to American safety, security, or sovereignty. And so when you look at American national security at its best, it must always come through the prism of, does this affect the American people, and how does America benefit from my actions and my activities? Now, when you go to the Middle East, you must first recognize that the Middle East is a trap. The Middle East can get you bogged down. The Middle East can bankrupt your nation. The Middle East can easily get you distracted. This is something that Donald Trump understood by pure instinct. Look, the Middle East is incredibly murky. It is the grayest area on the planet. People that one day might seem as if they're a friend might be trying to undermine you. It is the sneakiest region on the planet. So we must understand that when you're dealing with either the Saudis or you're dealing with the Turks or you're dealing with the Jordanians, there's ulterior motives at play. But there is a very significant American energy story here that is not being told. And the American national security state would love us to do nothing more than focus on the Middle East all day long. And I'm not saying it's unimportant. I'm not saying we shouldn't talk about it ever. But I'm a lot more worried about our porous southern border, our suicidal generation, our fentanyl-addicted population, inflation and gas prices, than I am about the internal politics of Saudi Arabia. Sorry, it really doesn't motivate me towards dedicating an entire hour towards it. It's so murky, can get you bogged down. You could find yourself immersed as if this is somehow our role. We're going to talk about that and really what Joe Biden's true goal is in the Middle East and how he believes that's going to play into his complete and total destruction of the United States of America. For a couple years now, people have been setting up a contest between crypto and gold, but that's like comparing a truck with an SUV. Both carry stuff and travel from A to B, but they do different jobs. Gold's job is to keep the value of your money safe and preserve its value. And since Ukraine, the oil and the inflation crisis, it's done a brilliant job compared to stocks and other investments. So if you're worried about what's going on right now, who isn't? Just talk to an expert at Noble Gold about precious metal IRAs for your retirement. They'll put you straight on your options and hold your hand through the whole setup process. And this month, for any qualified IRA, you'll get an incredible 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin completely free as a thank you. So call 877-646-5347 now to find out more or visit NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. We do not need Saudi Arabia. We don't need Russia. We don't need any of these countries. But in this gray, murky region of geopolitics, you must understand, what is your greatest enemy? Who is your greatest enemy? Our greatest enemy is the Chinese Communist Party, period. Every single foreign policy decision must be made through the prism of restraining and defeating the Chinese Communist Party. I'm no fan of Saudi Arabia. As part of Saudi Arabian families were involved behind 9/11. I'm no fan of Russia. Putin is a thug. But if Saudi Arabia and Russia can be used in a triangulation strategy to restrain and defeat the Chinese Communist Party, that would be prudent. Now, part of the American foreign policy establishment that has existed post-World War II is this fraudulent utopianism that somehow we can bring Western values in a moment and an instant and throw them into a country. Now, I do want to build out one part of this because it can seem a little bit confusing, because there is this incantation, for example, that is used by a lot of people, and it's not necessarily, I would say, ushered or fostered with malintent, which is, hey, Ukraine is having their 1776 moment. And during the Arab Spring, which many of you remember and lived through, they're having their 1776 moment. Well, no, they're not, actually. Now, Nicole Hannah-Jones, she put forward the 1619 Project, where she thought that was the true founding of America. I reject that categorically, completely, and totally. I will, however, say, though, that there is some merit to the claim that the development of the American desire for liberty did take longer than just 1 year. That it was a lot of philosophical, religious, and spiritual work that had to go in over the course of 120 years to get the entire American colonies ready to demand self-government. The American foreign policy establishment believes that we can swoop in and say, they're ready for self-government in the constitutions. Actually, did they put the work in? Did they go through the literature, the scholarship, the education, the reflection of whether or not they want to embrace Western values? And the arrogance that so many people have in the American foreign policy establishment, they say, oh yeah, Ukraine's ready. Are they? Have they gone through a religious revival that was necessary before the American Revolution and founding, such as the Great Awakening? What authors and thinkers have heavily influenced Ukrainian culture where they're ready to demand separation of powers, consent to the governed, independent judiciary? These are important things to ask before you're willing to participate American tax dollars in an experiment of neoconservatism halfway around the world, of which we've already spent, by the way, $56 billion sending to Ukraine, more than the GDP of North Dakota. Now imagine if our leaders spent $56 billion on a tax rebate to make it easier for you to be able to afford gas instead of sending that $56 billion where we can't even trace where the weapons have gone. We don't know what happened to it. Weapons are being trafficked all across the Middle East. Now, all of these things relate to one to the other, or $56 billion, by the way. How about to the border? No, that would put America first. Our leaders want nothing to do with that. They'd rather send $56 billion to a far-off distant land. So Joe Biden right now is meeting with the Saudis. Look, I make no qualms about it. I think the Saudis are somewhat shady actors, but they could be very helpful to America. So those are two different things. If the Saudis can help American interests, then let's play ball. However, let's be honest. And by the way, the Saudis are very effective at hedging against Iran. We don't need Saudi oil if we drilled and explored our own energy assets. Joe Biden comes without the key ingredient. Joe Biden enters into Saudi Arabia. I think he's in Riyadh, if I'm not mistaken. Without what every American president needs before they go abroad. Do not step foot on Air Force One abroad until you have the most important thing, leverage. If you do not have leverage, you should not take off. If you do not have leverage, you should never go meet with an ally or an enemy or an adversary. It's nothing more than a photo op. You see, America at its best has leverage. Why? Well, we're bordered by two allies. At least I think the Mexican government's an ally, sort of. Their fostering and protecting of the Mexican drug cartels makes it awfully suspicious. We're bodied by two big, massive swaths of water, and we have more energy and farmland than we know what to do with. That is leverage. Joe Biden comes at a time where we're not using our own energy advantage. Joe Biden goes to Saudi Arabia at a time when he's willing to go beg Saudi to try and fuel our own country. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? Producer Andrew's right here doing an Ironman thanks to Relief Factor. And truth is, I know there are millions of people. In fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise or just getting older. That can do it, getting older, which is why I'm so impressed with the people at ReliefFactor.com. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. They recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back pain, neck pain, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pain, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted, only $19.95. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now, ReliefFactor.com. You should order the 3-week quick start too. Discount only $19.95. See if it will work for you. I think it possibly could. Give your body what it needs to heal itself. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now. So Biden's in Saudi Arabia right now for a reason. And the reason is they look at Saudi Arabia as the bridge to bring them to a fossil fuel free future. Say that 4 times quickly. A fossil fuel free future. The 4 F's that they want to bring to America. Now, why do they want a fossil fuel free future? Well, they want individual autonomy. They want American energy independence and superiority to be completely eliminated. You're easier to control if you have to plug in your car to an electrical vehicle station every single day. The idea of the Western spirit of drive west, young man, or go west is something inherent with having abundant energy. You're already seeing people cut back. For example, Kamala Harris is admitting it. Look, all you need to do is to get to be able to go to where you need to go to work and get home. Driving for the sake of driving is being completely and totally eliminated and crushed from within. Play cut 54.
Backgrounds. Together, we are expanding access to transportation. Seems like maybe it's a small issue. It's a big issue. You need to get to go and need to be able to get where you need to go to do the work and get home. So we have expanded access to transportation.
Man, I can't stand her. I'll just be very honest. It reminds me, it's just like Costanza. Can't stand you. I'll tell you what. Yeah, 81 million votes for her. Sure. But you must understand that a core component of the Great Reset is energy. A key component, I should say. If you read all the Davos documents, if you read from the World Economic Forum, it's always about energy. Why is that? because they want a form of energy that they can control. So, for example, on the World Economic Forum website, it says it right here. By the way, we've talked openly about how the World Economic Forum and the Great Reset, they advertise their ambitions and their goals publicly. They're hiding in plain sight. So the World Economic Forum, they have this, the global future on energy transition. Quote, the scale and pace of the ongoing energy transition will be affected by the actions taken by business and government in the response to the COVID-19 health and economic shocks. The global future on energy transition will provide a vision for the transition to a more sustainable, inclusive, and affordable post-COVID world. It will convene thought leaders from the energy and finance industries, academia and civil society, provide a perspective on progress, identify barriers to the energy transition in both developing and developed regions, and seek to build consensus and incubate policy measures that could accelerate the transition. And they have an entire board of directors on the WEFforum.org. And guess who is the director of the member of this, the first person listed on the World Economic Forum website? Musab Al-Mulla, who is the director of Saudi Aramco. You see, as the West divests from fossil fuels and we decide we do not want to use our energy assets in Alaska, if we do not want to deregulate our ability to transport energy as we don't have the Keystone Pipeline built, which I'll talk about in just a second, then it actually makes the very countries that Washington, D.C. tells us to hate, like Russia and Saudi Arabia, more powerful. There is no greater gift to Vladimir Putin and Mohammed bin Salman than green energy in America, period. But you must understand that Joe Biden and his cartel of criminals around him, being a spokesperson and willing participant and leader in the World Economic Forum Great Reset agenda, they look at Saudi Arabia as a temporary gas station to ease the fears and the anxiety of the American people as they can try to implement us towards a top-down controlled green energy grid. They want us to be on public transportation, easier to control. They want to try to get rid of fossil fuels, which is one of the reasons why America is so wealthy and prosperous. It really is remarkable when it goes into the power of green ideology. It's environmental paganism at its core, which is the worship of the earth and the forsaking of human flourishing and excellence to try to accomplish some sort of non-specific utopian green future, where regardless of the geopolitical damage, regardless of the type of suffering that might ensue, they're willing to go beg Saudi Arabia for oil, but not try to use our own oil in the Permian Basin and the Balkan Shale. Now, I'll be very honest, the leadership of Republican parties is so poor on this. So many Republican governors do not recognize and realize that state sovereignty is a direct threat to what Davos is trying to do. So, for example, we've said this many times on our program, but there is no reason at all whatsoever why Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota, they should go build the Keystone Pipeline now. Defy the federal government the same way the left defied the federal government when it came to immigration policy in San Francisco, Portland, and Seattle. And Republican governors could start to solve our energy crisis. But Republicans have grown so accustomed to what? Just go write a letter and don't look at solutions. I want a Republican Party that is actually going to go about and solve our problems regardless of what the federal government's going to do. And so America will continue to devolve if Republican state-based leaders are just waiting for the next election cycle to solve things. We are running out of election cycles. And I'd love your thoughts on this, by the way, freedom@charliekirk.com. Maybe you are perfectly fine with just waiting for the next election cycle, but why is it that we aren't building the Keystone XL pipeline? Because we're waiting for the federal government? Ignore them. The left does it all the time. The left ignores the federal government when they don't get what they want. It's not about what we want right now. We need energy. Federal leases aren't being used. State Republican governors should defy them. Make the federal government come in. Create a constitutional crisis. Actually, it's not a constitutional crisis. It's totally consistent with the United States Constitution and the 10th Amendment. We're about restoring state sovereignty, restoring local government. And Republicans are so afraid of their shadow that these weak-kneed Republicans, they bend the knee to the federal government. They'll say, oh, I'll see you in court. No, just do it, actually. We are running out of time. And again, I want your thoughts on this. freedom@charliekirk.com. Maybe you feel we have plenty of time left and we can wait till the 24, 26, 28 election. But the great frustration I have with this, as Biden goes and fist bumps Mohammed bin Salman in Saudi Arabia, the frustration that I have is that we have given our political power to leaders on the state-based level only to have them give us nothing but excuses as to why they can't go about solving the very problems that we gave them political power to go and try and solve. And they say, well, I don't have this in my authority. According to what document exactly? According to the media? According to some sort of strange mirage that you're afraid the federal government's going to get angry at you? We must understand that the states created the federal government. The federal government didn't create the states. Tick, tock, tick, tock. And not that tick, tock, not the Chinese Communist Party app that's making your grandkids hate themselves. I'm talking about tick, tock, we're running out of time. And so if the states are serious about reclaiming America, if we are serious about reclaiming America, then we need a lot more than press releases and just waiting for the next election cycle. And that ties in directly with what's happening in Saudi Arabia. So the gut reaction is to do this. And there's nothing incorrect with this, but it is totally and completely incomplete. So I'm going to play a piece of tape here, and it's fine, but it's kind of just like the typical response. It's Kevin McCarthy talking about how Biden is begging for oil because of his failed policies. This is right, but it's incomplete. Play cut 91.
Let's be honest. The only reason President Biden is going to Saudi Arabia is to beg for them to produce more oil. He travels all the way to Saudi Arabia to beg them to go against everything he said in a campaign simply because his policies from day one have denied America to be energy independent, to have American jobs, and to be more environmentally sound. It's unbelievable.
That's correct, but let's start doing something about it. Don't all of you want to start to see action on this? We elect Republicans all up and down the heartland of our country. We elect Republicans in the state legislative races and Senate races. We elect Republican attorney generals. Let's start to use that political power to improve the well-being of our citizens. We have played the game. Why are we sending our emergency oil overseas? Treasonous. Why are we doing business with a Chinese Communist Party energy company that Hunter Biden was a partner in? Treasonous. All that's important. And we need our federal government, hopefully, to be reclaimed by Republicans in the Senate and the House. But the real action that I think is being totally missed is that if we're serious about challenging the World Economic Forum and the Davos crowd, if we're serious about it, then it's going to have to take some acts of civil disobedience and defiance, peacefully, of course, by the states. It's going to have to require a word that is so sorely lacking in the Republican Party. Courage. Because we kind of fall into the trap, right? Oh, wow. He's in Saudi Arabia dishonoring us, giving fist bumps. And yeah, that's true. What are we doing about it? Waiting? Not acceptable. Sorry. Let's not. I'm done waiting. Where do you think the Permian Basin is? Mostly in Texas. Tell the federal government to go pound sand and get the oil we need. Keystone XL pipeline goes through all red states. Build it. Bakken Shale. Explore it. States need to start to think like leaders. The GOP could do a lot right now. And forget Congress. It's fine. Whatever. Congress is going to do their job. They basically write letters and they cross-examine people. Very important, by the way. I'm not diminishing that, especially to hold our unelected federal bureaucracies accountable. But the lack of creativity, boldness, and clear vision from the states, I think, is this massive vacuum happening in front of us. Because we've been trained like Pavlovian dogs. Wow, Biden goes to Saudi Arabia. That's really bad. I guess we got to wait till 2024. No, you don't. You don't. If we had the spine Democrats have on immigration, where they just ignore the federal government when it comes to immigration policy. They don't deport rapists. They don't deport arsonists. They just do whatever they want in Seattle, San Francisco, Portland. If we had the spine, you could fill in some other words for that, We'd have our energy crisis solved today, but Republicans are doing what? Oh, they're waiting till 2024. In my opinion, we don't have till 2024. We don't have time. I know the timeline of the World Economic Forum. How do you know that, Charlie? Because I visit their website. It's not some sort of like deep exploration. Go to worldeconomicforum.org and see it yourself. I want to hear from you. Do you think we have time? Do you want to see Republicans start to solve these problems? Freedom@charliekirk.com. We have the power. How about our leaders start to use it? Is it possible that what has happened to the United States and the world from COVID-19 to 9/11 are part of an ancient mystery? Is it a warning? Does the mystery tell us what is yet to come? Do we have the key to uncover it? New York Times bestselling author Jonathan Cahn takes audiences on an epic journey to uncover the stunning mystery. The Harbinger of Things to Come is available at salemnow.com. Uncover the ancient signs that warn of impending calamity. The harbingers that appear in the last days of an ancient nation have now appeared on American soil. The key, the hope, and what you need to know about the future. From Jonathan Cahn comes the explosive motion picture, The Harbinger of Things to Come. If you missed it in theaters, stream it today at salemnow.com. The Harbinger of Things to Come, the one movie you cannot afford to miss, go to salemnow.com. That is salemnow.com. What I am attempting to do is to try to move the Overton window of what we believe is possible. Look, the conservative movement, we largely live in a box of our own creation, scared of our own shadow, to try to just wait out the clock. Now, some critics will say, Charlie, you are pushing the limits of the United States Constitution. I completely and totally disagree with that. We're restoring the Constitution. We've allowed the states to be railroaded by federal government intrusion for the last 60 years, 70 years, 80 years. The states have plenary powers. Again, the states congregated together and gave up their sovereignty to the federal government. We have been held captive by federal tax dollars for far too long. Now, some critics say, well, Charlie, what are you calling for? Secession? The exact opposite. I'm actually calling for the reassertion of the union, where you can only have a union if states are allowed to govern themselves on the most important matters and issues. In fact, I believe the breaking up of America becomes more likely the more centralized planning you do. I actually think we get along better when you leave everyone in their own pockets of the country to deal with some of these more intimate issues. Every single controversial issue, the Democrats want to centralize it in Washington, D.C. and take control. But what bothers me so much is I talk to these Republican governors, some of them, and they're like, well, I can't do that. Federal government. Tell them to go pound sand. Who cares? Well, I might get my federal tax dollars. Good. You'll be freer. You're nothing more than a drug addict trying to play off the nonstop cash flow of a federal bureaucracy. Free yourself. Oh, they're going to come arrest me as a sitting governor. Well, that would be interesting to see. Well, my road funding is tied to it. Then find another way to finance your government. Maybe think a little bit creatively. Stop being a bureaucrat, afraid of my shadow type leader. Well, I can't do that because the highway funding might dry up. You know, you can fund stuff yourself as a state. Figure it out. If I were to give one contribution in the year 2022, just a single one, to the Republican Party and the conservative movement, it would to be embrace one sliver of Machiavellian political theory. Now, when you think of Machiavellianism, you're like, oh, Charlie, the ends justify the means. That's an oversimplification of just one of the writings of Machiavelli. Machiavelli had an amazing canon of work. We obviously just think of him for writing The Prince, but there's another part where he challenged behavioral patterns. He challenged what we have grown accustomed to. And he said, if we know what we want, why don't we go do it? Now, I know that sounds so simply like, Charlie, of course. Then why don't we go do it? Why don't we go make red states energy independent? Why do we need Saudi Arabia? Why do you need the federal government? Why do you need the EPA? Why do you need the Department of Energy? No. What's the reason? Oh, because it's against their rules? They break the rules every day. How are they going to enforce them exactly? Who created the federal government? Who's in charge? You can do anything you want as long as it's in the pursuit of goodness and virtue and truth if you have the political will to do it. Now you might say, well, Charlie, whose truth? Thanks for asking the question, subjective person who graduated from college. There's only one truth. You might have one experience. You might have different experiences, I should say. But it's not going to solve itself by shuffling around cards. And this is something that's so interesting, is that the Republicans in D.C. are so afraid of what they're actually creating. The Republicans are like, well, this is going to tear the country apart. No, no, no. You doing nothing will tear the country apart. You want to reinvigorate the country? Action, boldness. And yes, I know this sounds controversial, but peaceful and constitutional defiance of the federal government will actually strengthen the nation. If the federal government does not faithfully execute the laws, if the federal government is starving its citizens, what do you do? Oh, you wait for the next election? No, this is an important thought exercise for the weak-kneed Republicans all across the heartland of the country. I want, like, for example, Asa Hutchinson, complete waste of time. If the federal government starts to say, well, you can't have farmland, we're confiscating food, do you wait for the next election? Do you write a letter? Do you issue a press release? Where's your line exactly? Or are you just going to say, oh, we don't have the solutions to do it? Sorry. We don't have the political will. We're not able to do it. Cowards, all of them. Run them out of the party. There's a new moment, and I understand a lot of leaders don't have the stomach for this. They said, I didn't sign up for this. I wanted to be a governor. I wanted to be a paper pusher. I wanted to try and get tax rates down in my state. Great, terrific, wonderful. Taxes are too high. Get in line. We have a whole chamber of commerce that wants to do that. How about you go feed your people? How about you make sure you can get gas in the tank? Or secure the southern border? You see, when things start to fall apart, it's tempting and easy to look to the Capitol, look to Washington, D.C., and say, well, we have our hands tied. Actually, no, you don't. You tied your own hands because you don't think creatively and you're afraid of the New York Times. We, the people, are sovereign. And we, the people, give our power first to the local government, then the state government. And so I don't want to hear excuses anymore. If I have to get another one of these emails from the establishment Republicans, I'm going to lose it. Triple match, urgent alert. How about you go do something, anything? I need more money. Actually, you really don't. How about you govern, and then I'll give you some money. Drill, build the Keystone Pipeline, deport illegals, build the wall, create the future you want to live in. I'm done with the excuses. I don't want to hear about the EPA or the Department of Energy. I don't want to hear about Biden's overreach. Ignore him. He's had his turn. We played the game. We gave him a couple months. We said, okay, maybe he's going to come to the middle. But it's a moral question. And the answer is very clear. What do you do when something good and beautiful is being destroyed in front of you? Do you wait to the next election? Do you write a press release? Do you sit on your hands? Do you go donate an urgent rush triple match alert to some Republican senator who does nothing? Or do you act? Do you storm the classroom? Or do you wait for your captain to tell you to do that 77 minutes later? I'm telling you right now, Republicans better get their act together. They have no idea the game that's being happening all around them. And you play a role in that. You got to keep the pressure on. And you know what? Stop. It's all of a sudden saying, well, I guess we have a good governor. Defy the federal government. Build the future we want to live in because they betrayed us. It's time for us to build something meaningful. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.